It's a song that I really like. I like this song. I wish it was in the hymnals that we have here in church, but I don't think it is. And we'll sing that here in just a little bit. Okay, let's sing that song. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray a holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us, Moses' sister? Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling heart with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners too. God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Thank you very much. Not that that song maybe don't have that much to do with what I share, and yet it does in a way. I just like that as a worship and a prayer song. Just always like that song. It's one of my favorite. If there is anything as a favorite, that would be one of my favorites. So. And I like what Dale shared this morning about having grilled fish and toast bread. So I'm gonna let you decide whether it's grilled fish or fried fish or whatever, and whether they are just right or whether they're burned or whatever. I'll let you decide on that. And I'll just try to share what God laid on my heart. And it was already shared a little bit about that. Daniel shared a little bit on that. I didn't know what he was going to share. He shared, I think it was in Proverbs chapter 29. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And he also said, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And what I want to talk about this morning is the wisdom of God. Or talk about being wise, making wise decisions. And I was sitting back there listening to the children's class, I was thinking Nehemiah there is, he is asking these, reading these stories and asking these questions to help the children make wise decisions. And that's what we need all through life is questions and things that will help us make wise decisions, right choices as we go through life. So I just want to talk about wisdom and knowledge, and then I'm going to read some later on. I'm going to read some scripture of wise men that had knowledge and wisdom. And you might have heard me talk about wisdom before. I know I have. Maybe not just a main message on wisdom, but it's something that I really like to look into, to read and study. Although it might seem like I don't have much wisdom sometimes and knowledge, but we don't have it if we don't learn. The difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Let's turn to James 3. And this message is for me just as much for anybody else. I'm just sharing it because it's something that God is trying to show me in maybe in some other area, and being patient, and it takes wisdom and knowledge to be patient in some of those things. So let's just read James 3, verse 13 through 18. It says, who is a wise man and doeth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It said, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. It said, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So we know that that wisdom is not from above. It says that it's not from God. In verse 17 it says, but the wisdom that is from above, just listen to the words here, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's the wisdom from above. Whatever all that includes is many things throughout life as we go through life. We have to deal with things, and it takes wisdom and knowledge to do that and make the right choices, right decisions. Seeking God's wisdom delivers us from many things. Selfish, our own selfish desires, delivers us from evil. If we seek God's wisdom and pursue it. Proverbs 4 verse 7 said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So, he is telling us to get everything we can with all our understanding, with all our getting, to get understanding. If you want wisdom, you must decide to go after it. It takes effort. Don't give up, no matter how difficult the road may become. This is not once in a lifetime thing. This is not a once in a lifetime step, but a daily process of choosing between right and wrong. It's something we deal with, we need daily, is the wisdom of God. God's wisdom to take us through difficult times and situations. There's a lot about wisdom in Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, as you know, I'm sure. But that book is full of wisdom, knowledge, and probably the reason it is, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And there is no man that was that wise, you know, and not even since Solomon, there's not anybody that has as much wisdom as he had. The Bible tells us that, and later on we probably read that verse or that chapter where it talks about it. And here's some things that the person who has wisdom, some things that will follow is loyal, is kind, trust in the Lord, puts God first, turns back on evil, knows right from wrong, listens and learns, does what is right, knows where to find knowledge and understanding, hates pride, arrogance, corruption, and deceit, respects and fears God, gives good advice and has common sense, loves correction and is teachable, knows God. So those are some things that will follow a person with God's wisdom, with the wisdom from above. And I wrote down some of the benefits of wisdom, having wisdom. And it's by far not all, but there's a few. It's satisfying life, favor with God and people, reputation for good judgment, success, honor, peace, protection, justice, righteousness, God's approval, constant learning, understanding. And there's many, like I said, there's many more things you could put down for that. The benefits of wisdom, of having wisdom and understanding. Godly wisdom is from God and honors God. Godly wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord and results in a holy life. Here's something to think about and meditate about. It says that, I forget where it's found in the scripture, but I just wrote it down. It says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Does that mean then there's any foolishness in God, or there's any weakness in God? No, because even if it was, we could never figure it out what it was, because it says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So if it's wiser than men, we could never figure out what would be wrong with God. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we could never figure out where he's weak at, because it said he's stronger than men. Just something to think about. Some of those things I like to just take and really think it through and think about some of those things. Because we could never, even if there was something wrong with God, we could never figure out what it was, because it would be stronger than, it would be wiser than man. Proverbs 9 verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I read that another The verse there that Daniel read earlier this morning is similar to that. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom begins with knowing God. He gives insight into living because He created life. To know God is not just to know the facts about Him, but to stand in awe of Him and have a relationship with Him. Do you really want to be wise? Get to know God better and better. If we want to know God better and better, we have a relationship with Him. And our desire is to follow after righteousness. Our desire is to follow that what is right. And the only way we will know what is right if we learn, like I shared earlier this morning, the children are learning, you know, to make right choices by the question that Nehemiah had for them. Learning while we're young is good. Learning to make the right choices in life is a big step in the right direction. And wisdom guards against immorality. Wisdom gives good advice. Wisdom is the use of one's knowledge and experience to make good judgments. Wisdom is the interpretation and understanding of knowledge that leads to greater insight. Wisdom is the knowledge of God and a life lived for God. In Proverbs 7, verse 4, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. I had to think back when I was growing up. Sometimes, you know, one of my sisters did something that I really appreciated. I would just tell him that, you know, I'm thankful that you're my sister. It says unto wisdom, thou art my sister. So evidently, my sister that I was talking about had wisdom, understanding. And I believe it can be in like that in our life growing up. Not just our sister, but also our brother can have a real influence in our life. If it's the right kind of influence, it's very good to have a brother or sister that influences you the right way. It's a blessing from God to have those things. And we need it. We need those amongst us in the church. Not just in our home family, but amongst the church people. We need those that come alongside do something to us that will really encourage us, and that we can say to him, you're my brother, or you're my sister. We're glad that you're my brother or my sister. Let's read Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 26. In this chapter, there is a lot that we can learn, or a lot that we need to learn in our life as we go through our daily life and make the right choices. It helps us make the right choices and things like that. And let's just take it that it is God speaking to us personally, not necessarily just to our sons, you know, but that it is from God talking to us. Starting in verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of day and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. He says there that happy is the man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding, and it is better for the merchandise thereof. Just imagine with me, with the wisdom and the understanding that God gives us. It puts something in us, inside. It's an inside that we cannot necessarily see with our eyes, but it is by far more precious to God than anything we can buy with gold or money or anything like that. Happy is the man that gets it. Verse 15, she's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. It's talking about wisdom and understanding there. Length of day is in the right hand, and in the left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge and depth are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When the law is down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So if we go back there to verse 13 and 14, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than gold. And as you read down through there, it mentions she is more precious. It's talking about wisdom. How precious wisdom is. How precious it is. It is something we all need. Need that wisdom, and to God it is very precious. In fact, on one of my notes here, I put down that wisdom is extremely valuable. Wisdom from God is extremely valuable. So if you can just have that in your mind, the wisdom of God, we all need it to be a part of God, and God will give it to us if we want it, if we ask him for it. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding hath established the heavens. We will never be able to understand all the wisdom of God and the way God can do things and figure things out. We will never be able to comprehend all that. But God gives us enough wisdom and understanding so that we can make it through life and be a part in His kingdom. And some He might give more than others. But a lot depends on how much you really want to know, how much you really do know, how much you really want to know or want to be part of Him. A lot of it. Maybe not all, but a lot of it. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." See, did we read James there already? Go back to James here. James 1 verse 5. I think maybe we didn't read James there, but I'm just going to. Or did we read that? Can somebody remember?
James 1, 5, we didn't read
that. Okay. James 1, verse 5 through 8. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." By wisdom, James is talking not only about knowledge, but the ability to make wise decisions in difficult times, circumstances. In the beginning of the chapter, starting in verse 2, it says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So James there evidently knew about the trying of your faith. You know, we have those times that are trying, and temptations come, and we need wisdom and understanding there to get through that. And he's saying here that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give it to you. God will give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding what you need to make it through those difficult times, temptations. This week, Tuesday was not a very good day for me at the beginning. And some difficult things came up, and we were going to work already, and we're probably about 30 miles out, and got a call, and I had to come back, and very difficult for some time. But as the day went on, everything turned out turned out good, and it was even, you know, very good. Came back and God rewarded me. In a way, God rewarded me because I did come back and did what I should have done, I guess you might say. But it was very difficult. We were already running a little late, and I wanted to get to work and get the job done, and almost there, and then I got a call and had to come turn around and come back. It was very difficult for me there for some time, but I always just, you know, I kept in mind that, you know, God knows what is best. It is for a reason. So if we, through those difficult times, if we come to God and just give everything to God, and He will provide for us, He will take care of us. If we need wisdom, we can pray to God and He will supply what we need. It's like this man that Dale talked about when their cow was when their cow was dying, and they didn't know what to do, and him and his children got around there at the cow and prayed to God, and it came alive. God will, I'm not saying that that will always happen, but God will allow that to happen time again to show that He is still God and that He can do miracles. And that rain that came that Nehemiah was talking to the children about over in Africa, God will still do things like that for us. If it's not for a selfish reason or anything. God will supply what we need. We as Christians don't need to walk around in dark hoping to stumble upon answers. We can ask for God's wisdom to guide our choice. When James speaks about wisdom, he means practically discernment. Wisdom brings with respect for God, begins with respect for God, leads to right living, and results in increased ability to tell right from wrong. God is willing to give us this wisdom, but we will be unable to receive it if our goals are self-centered instead of God-centered. To learn God's will, we need to read God's word, ask Him to show us how to obey it, and then we must do what it tells us to. God will not leave us in the dark. He will provide for us. If it's a need that we have, especially a spiritual need, and we ask and we seek, and God will provide for us in some way or another. It might not be always the way we're thinking, but He will somehow provide for us. God does not grant every thoughtless or selfish request. To ask in faith means asking with confidence that God will align our desire with His purpose in mind. A mind that wavers is not completely convinced that God's way is best. Somebody that wavers back and forth and not sure whether they want to do the right thing or not, whether they do which way to go is not completely convinced that God's ways is best for him. Either that or somehow just can't make up their mind. But it treats God's word like any human advice, thinking that there's an option of disobedience. If you're following God, you cannot follow after the flesh. If your faith is new, weak, or struggling, remember God is trustworthy. Be loyal to Him to stabilize your wavering or doubtful mind. Commit yourself wholeheartedly to God. Wisdom is both a gift, a God-given gift, and the fruit of an energetic surge. Wisdom's starting point is God and His revealed word, the source of knowledge and understanding. In verse 5, there we can take wisdom as a gift from God, but it's not given unless we search for it. It's not given unless we put some efforts into it. For the Lord giveth wisdom. In that way it is a gift. Like I said, He gives only to those who earnestly seek it. The pathway to wisdom is strenuous. It takes effort to walk therein. But it's not beyond what God gives us the ability to take it. When we are on it, we discover that true wisdom is God's and that we cannot create it by our own efforts. But because God's wisdom is hidden from the rebellious and the wicked, it takes effort to find it and to use it. God's wisdom there is hidden from the rebellious and the wicked because they are not really, they're not seeking for it. They don't really want it. They don't want it. So therefore they cannot find it unless they get serious about it. Proverbs 3, I think I already read that. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. It's something we need to continually be reminded of, something that we need to have in our heart so that when situations come up, we know what God wants. It's something that wisdom is something that we don't just all of a sudden have it, learn it, and now we have it. But it's something that we learn from little up. Or some of the things. Or maybe there are some that don't really, from young up, maybe there are some that don't really are taught wisdom, but it's not, I'm just trying to say it's not something that all of a sudden we have it and now we got what we need, but it's something that we learn as we grow in the Lord. And I thought that I might read out of the Old Testament a story of some of these people that had a lot of wisdom and were wise people. As we know, Joseph was a wise leader, but he was also wise in his youth when he was growing up. He made some wise choices, decisions there. As you all are probably you're familiar with that when he didn't sleep with that woman. He made a right choice there to not do that. But then he was a very wise leader there, preparing for a major draw when I think it was the king that had this dream and he interpreted the dream. And then the king told him to be the overseer there. And he made some very wise decisions and decisions there. So he was a wise leader. And Joshua was a wise leader. He learned by observing Moses, obeyed God, led the people into the promised land. Of course, David was a wise leader. He made some bad choices, but through all that, he never let his failures keep him from the source of wisdom. He was a man of God. And then Abigail was a wise wife. Her husband was not so wise. Trying to think of his name, can't think of it, but he was, when David and his men came to meet him there, he was not so wise, but then somehow his wife found out about it, and she made a very wise decision, choice there to go and meet him with all this food and stuff. She treated him very good. And then God smote her husband. And then later Abigail became David's wife. And then we have Daniel. He was a wise counselor. And many more. We have the wise men came to see Jesus when they heard about another king was born. They not only heard about it, but they came to check things out. The wise men that came from wherever they came from. And Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. But he also, in his later years, he also made some bad choices. So I might just go to, let me see, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. And see Solomon's life there. Look at Solomon's life. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 3, I think, and read most of the chapter. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offering did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." So this is Solomon here speaking to God, and he said, he's but a little child. "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, and thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" So do you think Solomon there is making a wise decision there, a wise choice? You think he asked for a wise decision there? You know, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." You think that was wise of him? And verse 10, "And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." See, there we see that never before and never after Solomon anybody with such great knowledge. "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered a burnt offering and offered peace offering and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one of the women said, My Lord, I and this woman dwelt in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that the woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house save the two in the house, and the woman's child died in the night because she overlaid him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but the son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So Solomon there, he was very wise in that, trying to figure out, how are we going to figure out, you know, which child this is? And it was very wise, I think, the way he did it, because who of you would want to see your son being slayed like that? The woman that was not her child, see, it didn't matter to her, but the other one did not want to see her son go. She probably figured, there's some other way I'll get it. She did not want to see her son being slain. So Solomon said it was her child. And Solomon was the wisest man on earth, and he had a lot of wisdom, and all the world found out about it. And you could go on and on and talk about it. I think in another chapter it talks about, you know, where all the kings and a lot of men came to see Solomon because he had so much wisdom and understanding. So Solomon asked for wisdom to carry out his job. He did not ask God to do his job for him. In the same way, we should not ask God to do our job, to do the job for us. But we should ask God to help us in it. We should ask God to give us wisdom to know what to do and how to do our job that he gives us. In Daniel, I'm going to read in Daniel 2. Daniel 2, verse 20, 21, and 22. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Just realizing that wisdom and might comes from God. And He changed the times and the season and removed kings and set us up kings. He gave us wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. So it's just Daniel there acknowledging that wisdom, knowledge comes from God, and understanding, it all comes from God. The deep secret things, that it all comes from God. And God will reveal those things to us as we need them when we ask for wisdom and knowledge. He will provide us with that. In Job 28, there's another scripture that I want to read. A couple of verses there. Job 28, verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. It says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither it is found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof." So, again, where does it come from? It comes from God, and it cannot be bought with a price, with money, with silver or gold. It comes from God, and He will give it to us if we ask for it, if we search for it. But we first have to come to God and ask Him for it. And if He sees a need there, He will provide it for us. In Matthew somewhere, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we seek after God and His kingdom, He will provide for us. And I'm just going to read another couple of verses here in Matthew 7. Verse 24 to 27. It says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine," talking about God's sayings, words, "and doest them, I will liken him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock." Actually, it's Jesus talking here. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And now listen to verse 26 and 27. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." That's the foolish man. The man that don't listen to God, his house will fall when the rain and the winds come. But my encouragement to you is just to be that wise man that built his house upon the rock, on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And God will provide for you whatever your needs are if you come to Him, and He will provide for you. So just hope that was an encouragement to you, and may the Lord bless you all for listening.